Sunday night series called Stressed Out. Now I want to just share just a little bit with you. Last Sunday night we started a series that will continue on Sunday nights until December the 31st. This week we've got community Thanksgiving service. We'll be back in the series next week. And it's a series on being stressed out. How many of you ever felt stressed out? How many of you sometimes feel stressed out now? You need to be a part of this series. There is a video of the first sermon on Facebook. It was done Facebook Live last week, and I believe that's on the church's website, or is it on yours? Church's Facebook page. And I encourage you to watch it, not because I preached it, but because it's powerful. Now, let me tell you a little something. The devil doesn't like it when we preach truth. I'm not really at liberty to tell you everything yet, but I'm going to tell you, I preached on being stressed out last week. Monday night, I got horrible news. Exciting, but horrible. Tuesday, stopped by to talk to the banker. Everything was looking great. The banker sends me an email later and says, what did you mean when you said $110,000 in the loan? Well, I meant $110,000 in the loan. Well, we only approved you for $100,000. Tuesday night I had a council meeting, one of the more difficult council meetings. It was awesome. I'm going to tell you, you need to honor our church and pastor's council. They are among the best men and women we have. I have worked with many boards, amen. And it happened to be the week that Pastor Brian and Pastor Anna had to set in for MIP. And I'm thinking, oh man, I got some heavy stuff to share in this meeting. And after the meeting, they come by and I said, that was one of the toughest we've had. And they're like, wow. That's got to be the best board we've ever seen in our life because of the love and the mercy. We come up with some options. Wednesday, I talked to the landlord. Gave him some options that we had. He said, I'll get back with you. He never called me back. Thursday morning, I called the landlord and said, what do you think? We'll get into some of this at the business meeting. And the landlord said, well, now understanding Wednesday was our second close date. We had already postponed it once. He said, well, we decided we didn't want to go with that option. Matter of fact, we signed a contract yesterday afternoon to sell the house to somebody else, and they take ownership and possession on December the 15th. You'll need to get out of the house by December 15th. I had some challenging news on Monday. By Thursday, I lost my place to live. I looked at my wife and said, I am not preaching anymore on stressed out. But I got news for you. God has helped me this week. Because every time something came up, I kept remembering last Sunday night's sermon. Kept remembering, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And then I began to look back at our Sunday morning series on Come to the Table. I began to think about last week how we talked about the table of provision and how that God sent provision for us. He makes a way for us. He provides everything that we need. And then I began to look at this morning's sermon, which is Come to the Table of Protection. I'm going to tell you, I can't do this on my own. I'm not big enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough to fight the fights I need to fight. But God has prepared a table of protection for my life. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 10, one verse of Scripture. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're a new guest with us, we get excited when we open the Word. That's why we shout when we open the Bible. reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 10 reads this way. You therefore and your sons, King David is talking to Ziba, Saul's servant. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. Him is Mephibosheth. And you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But, there's my word, but Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Lord, I pray for your blessing on the word. Pray for your blessing on me. Lord Jesus, get me out of the way and preach the word you have for your children this morning. Lord, let it sink into our hearts. Let it walk in our lives. Lord, let everyone who hears this sermon, whether they be here or whether they be watching on Facebook or whether they watch it later, Lord, let their lives be touched with the surety of your protection and your power. Lord, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Let me tell you a little bit about this story. I say this often, to the point that people don't believe me anymore. But this is one of my favorite Bible stories in the whole Bible. See, people just chuckle and look around. I can't help it if they're all fantastic. I love these stories. And I like this story because of the power of God's protection. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan, who is the son of Saul. When David was playing the harp in Saul's chamber and became a general in Saul's army, David and Jonathan became friends. Not just friends, but BFFs. They were tight. They were homeboys. They were connected at the hip. They loved each other. Everything they did, they appreciated and loved each other. Even to the point when David realized that Saul was trying to kill him, Jonathan said, "Oh, it can't be." And they went into a test mode. And as Jonathan found out that Saul did want to kill David, Jonathan signaled him to leave and to run. They went out in a field and embraced and said goodbye, understanding that they were about to be on opposite ends of the fight. Understanding that Jonathan's own father was about to try to kill Jonathan's best friend, and they couldn't be together. They couldn't hang out anymore. But their love for each other never waned. Have you ever had a friend like that? Time, distance, whatever, separate you. Somebody else's problem with you separates you and another friend. And all of a sudden, you don't get to see them. You don't get to hang out with them. But you still love them. Well, that was David with Jonathan. And David waited for a time that he could show his love. Somewhere, Mephibosheth was born. And when Mephibosheth was about 5 years old, I went too far. There we are. When Mephibosheth was about 5 years old, Saul and Jonathan were killed. The killing of Saul and the killing of Jonathan is what opened the door for David to become king. But as Saul and Jonathan were killed, as you heard me share with the children, in 2 Samuel chapter 4, it says this, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. He was wounded in his feet. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you become wounded in your feet, everything in your life changes. I live in this house. My wife diagnosed in 2008, almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago, that she had multiple sclerosis. One of the first symptoms that we saw, we didn't know what it was, we didn't know what was happening, but she started walking slower. Now you have to understand that my wife is a Yankee. God loves her anyway. I've forgiven her for it. Trying to get the Southern into her, but I know, she's a Yankee. And when we first got married, we would walk into Walmart, and I'm from Texas, and I stroll. And Beth is from New Jersey, and she's like, she wouldn't even hold my hand. If you're not going to walk, you can just wait back there. I'm going. She had this quick pace everywhere she went. Think now she was just trying to make up ground so that when she got, you know, into this situation, she... But all of a sudden she started tripping. We kept noticing she was slowing down. We started parking closer to things because she would get tired walking. We didn't know what it was. We asked the doctor. They said, well, your back's out of line. They said this, that, and the other thing. Need to exercise more. Blah, 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 blah. She winds up having some issues with her eye. An eye doctor gets her to a retina specialist who gets her to an optic nerve specialist who winds up doing an MRI and sending us to a neurologist. Thank you. And the neurologist looks at her scan and says, there's all kinds of lesions of damage in your brain and in your spinal cord. You've had optic neuritis. He had her walk down the hall. He says, you have drop foot. You have weakness in your side. Some people wait 5 years for an MS diagnosis. We got it in 5 minutes, literally. And on December the 28th of 2008, the doctor says, you have multiple sclerosis. We said, what's this going to mean? He said, I don't know. Your symptoms could get better and you could be fine for years. In fact, you're already having problems with your leg. We'll have to watch it. It wasn't too long after that that she started using a cane, much to her argument. Then she went to a walker, much to her argument. Anthony does some stand-up comedy, and he talks about when she had the cane. Said the only thing she liked about the cane is when the kids would act up, she could hit them with it. He said it got a little more awkward when she got the walker because she'd try to pick the walker up and she'd fall. But and people do exactly that. They go, can we laugh at that? But we are now in the process of trying to work out with insurance to get her a chair. Much to her argument. We've seen what it's done to our life. The fact that her feet don't work right. The places that it's hard to get to. The houses that we look at. It's hard to get in. The circumstances that we face. When you become wounded in your feet, life gets difficult. I share a lot about Beth, but let me tell you about somebody else. See, there's somebody who has always been a mover. Likes to walk, paces everywhere he goes. But somewhere down the line, as a teenager, he got a taste for Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew. And at one point in his life, he would drink a 12-pack and about a half to three-quarters of a two-liter bottle of soda a day. As he grew up being a skinny young man, he became not so skinny young man. And about 5 years ago, he noticed his feet felt weird. His feet always felt tingly. He noticed that at night, when he lay in bed, it felt like there was 3 inches of leather on the bottom of his feet. He could feel pressure, but he couldn't feel touch. He goes to the doctor, finds out that he's induced himself because of his sugar intake to type 2 diabetes. And that at 47, 46, 45, 48 now, he's already got neuropathy in his feet. There are days that it hurts to take a step. Why? For me, it's because I mistreated my body. But I can tell you, I long for the day when my feet were right. Because when my feet were right, it didn't hurt. Right now, as I preach to you, I feel, because I'm not wearing my good shoes, I feel the tingle and the pain in the bottom of my feet. I will sit down today and put my feet up and go, oh, because it hurts. Wounded feet change your life. Wounded feet make you vulnerable. Now, I'm going to tell you, my feet hurt, but they still move. And I love my wife, and if somebody came to attack us, I would stand up in front of her, and I would protect her. But it would be easy for me to run because I could get away. If a wild bear came into our house, I only have to be faster than Beth. I don't have to be faster than the bear. But I would stay in front of her. When I was a teenager, I was dating this young girl, and we were at my grandmother's house eating lunch. My cousin snuck, he lived with her, and he snuck in with my grandmother. He snuck in his bedroom window and snuck down the hall while we were eating lunch. And he jumped into the kitchen and said, "Whoa!" And I jumped out of the chair and ran into the street and left my girlfriend sitting at the table. Obviously, she's not still my girlfriend. Like, she got the picture pretty quick. My feet were faster than her feet. Wounded feet hinder your protection. Wounded feet hinder your ability to take care of yourself. Mephibosheth had wounded feet. It wasn't his fault. His nurse dropped him in a time of fear, in a time of doubt, in a time of worry. I'm going to tell you, some of you have been dropped spiritually. Things have happened in your life, and your spiritual feet have been wounded. You don't know how to worship? You don't know how to read your word? You don't know how to dig into the word? Most of the time, it's not your fault. Somebody dropped you. And you're wounded. You're hurt. You feel like you can't protect yourself. You feel like you can't take care of yourself. But there's a king. Now, let me back up before I go that far. It's not really in my notes, but I just got to say it. When your feet are wounded and you're a descendant of the last king, traditionally, every descendant of the king that could lay claim to the throne is killed in the change of leadership. So you know what you do when your feet are wounded? You go to Lodabar. You go away from where you were, and you hide. And you go down there, and you live as a poor person. Poor, pitiful me. I'm just going to sit in my little old church and I'm just going to hope the pastor feeds me enough to let me go. We become like a bunch of clip-winged birds sitting in a nest with our mouths open, hoping somebody will drop some food into us, because somewhere somebody dropped us and we're wounded in our feet, and we know that there is a price on our head, and we know that we're supposed to be dead. We understand all of that, but we don't think we have any power. We don't think we have any authority. We don't think we have any hope because our feet are wounded. Oh, but there's a king. There's a king named David who gets up onto his throne and he says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, he says this. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" You see, there's a king who says, "I want to know if there's somebody out there that I can show my love to." There was a king who said, "I know that the last king has been killed, and Jonathan, my friend, the next heir to the throne, has been killed. But I want to know, is there anybody left? Is there anybody that I can show how much I cared for Jonathan?" Can I tell you, there's a king. There's a king that is king above all kings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was made without the Word. The Word walked with God. I want you to get this. In Acts, in Genesis, the Bible talks about how God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with Adam and Eve. The cool of the evening, He would walk with them. He would talk with them. When me and my wife met, every night we would walk down the street, Okoe Street in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we would hold hands. Once I finally got her where she'd hold hands. Tell you what, she wouldn't hold my hand for 3 days, wouldn't kiss me for a week. I was about to give up on her. I was patient. After she had made me break up with my girlfriend, just tell me she'd go out with me. I mean, she just had unreasonable expectations. And I knew you would. That's why I come over here and talk to you. Some of them think I'm crazy. You understand. But we would walk down Okoe Street, and we would hold hands, and we would talk. In the cool of the evenings, we would walk, and it would be soft and romantic, and we were building relationship, and we were getting to know each other, and we would walk by a street sign, and I'd go, bang, and mess it all up. But we walked. That's what we did. Everywhere we went, we would go up. There's a mountain outside of Cleveland called Chillicothe. We'd go up there, and we'd hike up to a waterfall. Chillicothe is where I live, isn't it? Okay, yeah. I'm wounded in the head, okay? I may not be wounded in the feet, but I'm wounded in the head. There's a mountain outside of Cleveland called Chihaui, and we would go hike up to a waterfall. We loved to walk. Jesus walked with the Father and with Adam and with Eve. And Adam and Eve fell. And Jesus could no longer walk with them because the righteousness and the glory of God could not walk with the wounded feet of man. All of a sudden, man no longer had the feet to be able to walk with Christ, because now our feet have been brought down to the earth, and now we have feet of clay that are dangerous and injurable. But there's a king who says, "Is there anybody that I can bless because of my love for Adam and Eve?" You see, when we created mankind, let us create man in our own image. let us create man so that he can walk with us in the cool of the evening. Is there anyone that I can bless? And he goes to Ziba, one of Saul's servants. Says, is there anyone? And Ziba says, oh, yes. Jonathan had a son that's wounded in his feet. David says, where is he? He says, he's in Lodabar. He's hiding. He is stowed away. And David says, go get him. When they go and they bring Mephibosheth back, Mephibosheth walks into the presence of the king. The Bible says he falls down at his feet. His feet were wounded, but his knees still worked. See, y'all should have been running the aisles at that one. Your feet may be wounded, but your knees still work. He fell down at the king's feet. And the king says, oh, no, 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 no. I'm about to bless you. I'm going to tell you, when you get down at the king's feet, every time the king's going to look at you and say, I'm about to bless you. I'm about to give you something. I'm not going to give you what you deserve, because what you deserve is to be killed. What you deserve is death. Not only are you incomplete, not only are you unable, but you are also of the wrong bloodline. And what I need to do is I need to kill you. I need to get rid of you. But no, I'm not going to do that, the king says. He says, I'm going to give you back everything that was your father's. I'm going to give you back everything that belonged to the prince. But I ain't done yet. Because I'm going to give you everything that was your grandfather's. I'm not just going to give you what belonged to the prince, but I'm going to give you what belonged to the king. See, some of you need to think about this. I'm going to give you what belonged to the king. But you, Mephibosheth, you're going to sit at my table. And you're going to eat at my table. You're going to have all that out there, but you ain't going to need it. Because you're going to sit at my table. I'm going to give you the world, but I'm going to place you in my presence. See, some of you ain't getting this. It'll dawn on you later. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you anything, but I'm going to seat you at my side, because my presence is sweeter than honey. My presence is more powerful. My presence is what you need. Mephibosheth is blessed. David says, you are going to be given everything you need, but you will sit at my table. Now let me tell you what that means. When you sit at the king's table, you ever been to a fancy dinner? You ever been to maybe a wedding reception? And you sit out in the tables out there until you're a part of the wedding party, and you sit. You know, maybe you're not the bride and groom. The bride and groom sits center of the head table. But when you're the best man, you sit next to the groom. You sit in a place of importance. When you go to a fancy banquet, sometimes you get to sit out in the crowd. But sometimes, because of who you are, I've been there when I walked in and they said, oh, pastor, you need to come sit at the head table. You need to come sit at the front, to show your importance, to show your authority, to show your honor. David said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you all kinds of stuff, but I'm going to take your little crippled, weak feet, and I'm going to set you at the head table. And everybody that looks at you is going to see, they're not going to see your feet anymore, as I talk to the kids about, but they're going to see the importance of who you are. That you have a seat at the king's table. That you have a seat at the most important table in the house. You will sit at my table. But what does that mean? It means that protection comes. Protection stays at the table. I shared with the kids this morning and showed them the example of having Beth and Jabez come up and how that once they sat down, anybody that was to come in couldn't tell that Mephibosheth was crippled. Couldn't tell that he was weak in the feet. No, all they saw is the importance of where he was at. And when David set him at the table, David said, I am going to make you somebody important. And my protection goes with my table. God protects those at his table. God protects those at his table. And it doesn't change. You go on a little further in 2 Samuel and you find a story where Mephibosheth is deceived. And David gets a little upset and he goes, what are you doing? He says, I was deceived. I was told they were coming to get me to be with you. And they lied to me. And David said, that's okay. Come back to my table. Then you get to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I'm going from memory here because I'm not going to walk back up there. I believe it's the Gibeonites that have come and Saul had lied to them. And they come to David and they say, we want justice. And David said, what can we have so we can have peace? And they said, give us 7 of Saul's descendants so we can hang them from a tree and we can kill them as a payment for what they had done to us. But when you, and David says, okay, we can do that. But you get to 2 Samuel 21:7. And in my Bible, it says, but, love that word. As a matter of fact, I had an idea last night, and we'll set it into motion just to give you a heads up. Starting on January 1st, I'm going to start some videos that I'll put up on Facebook every day, best I can do it, called The Bible Bud of the Day. That's what I'm going to call it, The Bible Bud of the Day. And I'm going to put it out there. So once it gets out there, I want you to share it. I want to touch people with these little, they'll just be about a minute to 90 seconds long. We're going to look at some of the butts of the Bible. The biggest butts in the Bible. Amen. And anyway, it says, but King David spared Mephibosheth. Because of his commitment and oath and love for Jonathan. Can we understand something? Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we're weak in our feet. Sometimes we're not whole, we're not complete. But because of God's love for mankind, when the enemy comes and says, give me. All right. But I'm going to spare Mephibosheth. He spared Mephibosheth. Now, I know it gets confusing, and let me just tell you, because if you're reading this, I don't want you to get confused. You go to verse number 8, and it starts telling who he takes out. And he chooses a son of Saul named Mephibosheth. If you read it, it says there's a son of Saul. That's a different Mephibosheth. It's not the same Mephibosheth. The Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan. When they killed and hung the 7 on the tree outside the Gibeonite army. The son of Jonathan, who's known as Mephibosheth, who was wounded in his feet, who was deserving of death, who was unholy, was still sitting at the king's table. Protection stays at the table. Church, I've come by here to tell you something. God has called us. God has chosen us. We don't have to be perfect. And by perfect, I'm not saying that you can go around sinning. That's not what I'm talking about in perfection. I'm talking about We you know, our feet can stumble. Our feet can be unwhole. But we can become perfect in God's completeness and wholeness, and perfect in God's righteousness, sitting at the table of perfection, sitting at the table of protection. You know why? Because that protection never leaves. When you sit at the king's table, you're served. Again, you go back to weddings. Many of the times, the head table is served first. Unless it's our wedding, we had to go through a buffet line. But we did go first. We went through the buffet line first. But many are served first. Sometimes the head table is served and everybody else goes to a buffet. When you get to the table of protection, you never have to worry again. Church, I've come by here to tell you, God is going to give you the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to give you everything you need and a lot of things you want. He's going to be your provision that we talked about last week. And you're going to have all these things, but he's going to send other people to tend them because you are going to sit at my table. You are going to sit at my table. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing and for your peace. And Lord, I thank you that you allow us to sit